Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey, y'all. Uncle Jimmy here. When you speak for yourself, you're forced to think for yourself. And when you think for yourself, the sports world looks different. In order to enjoy this podcast and this show, you need to have the courage to look at the world from alternative points of view and not be offended when you disagree. Speak for Yourself isn't your Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram feed. SFY tells you what you need to hear and not what you want to hear. So, welcome aboard, buckle up, and enjoy the ride.
Welcome to Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai. Marcellus Wiley. Whitlock is off today. That's not him on keto. And coming up, we'll tell you if LeBron just snatched the MVP from Giannis this weekend. But right now, joined by Fox NFL analysts LeVar Arrington, Mark Slerif, and TJ Houshmandzadeh. So let's start in Dallas, where Dak Prescott and the Cowboys still haven't made a deal. But it sounds like Jerry Jones and company have been trying to get it done. Reportedly, the team has upped this initial offer of $105 million guaranteed. And according to Clarence Hill, the Fort Worth Star Telegram, the new offer will make him the highest paid player in the NFL. So the question here is, does Dak deserve to be the highest paid player in the league? And I'm going to say yes to that. And it's not a talent-based conversation for me. You have to respect what the CBA is going to do to what the revenue is going to be for the players, what the income is going to look like for the players. And that injection, along with what Dak has been able to do in comp, compared to the other top five players in the NFL in terms of salary, he deserves to be the highest paid. We know Russell Wilson is number one. But then if you talk about a Jared Goff, a Carson Wentz, even a beat-up Ben Roethlisberger at age 34, you start to realize that Dak Prescott is a guy that fits in that neighborhood in terms of accomplishments, in terms of whatever you want to say about his win percentage, second highest of all quarterbacks since he's been active in the league. And more importantly, the guy is the leader of this team. He has been the constant, and he is a consummate professional. So you have to factor in all those things in terms of just the talent conversation. But for me, yes, Dak should be the highest paid in the league.
I say yes as well. And for a tad bit of a different reason, if you look at the value of what you represent to the team, the report says the Cowboys offered a contract that is the highest, would make him the highest paid.
Right.
So if they're offering him that, that means that that's the value that he holds to that organization. Mm-hmm. Whether Dak feels as though that number is high enough or not, that's to be determined. But the pure fact that the team has offered the amount that would say he is the highest paid quarterback makes it simple and plain to me. That is his value, and that's what he would deserve.
I think he deserves to be the highest paid simply because he's the next in line. Forget about what he's done, what he hasn't done. I don't care what he's done, what he hasn't done. I think when you negotiate, you're in that position as a player. Now, I was never in that position, but you may have been in that position. It is incumbent upon you. It's your responsibility to set the new bar for the guys who are coming up after you. And those guys that are in that position take it very seriously. Mm-hmm. I want to be the highest paid. It's not an egotistical thing in my mind. It's I want to set the bar for the next guys coming up to leap over that bar. And if I'm Dak Prescott, why in the heck would I take less than Carson Wentz from a guaranteed standpoint or Jared Goff from a guaranteed standpoint? No,
preach.
Absolutely not. But the other thing that really irritates me, though, more than anything else, is I guarantee you Dak Prescott and his agent didn't leak this information. This is always leaked by the teams to basically say, hey, listen, look, we've given you this great offer, this monopoly money. We say that you're going to be the highest paid guy at your position, but you don't trump people from a guaranteed standpoint. That's wrong. It's not. And it pits you as a player against your own fan base. Look at how selfish Dak Prescott is. He should take less. Baloney. He should be the highest paid guy because he's the next in line. That's it.
You deserve whatever they're willing to give you. And he's earned his payday. Now, the highest paid player in the league? No. And y'all all know that. Mm. A highest paid player, that's not him. I like Dak Prescott as a quarterback. But is he better than Russell Wilson? No. Is he better than Aaron Rodgers? No. Is he better than Ben Roethlisberger at this age, at this stage of Ben's career? No. Now, he's on par with Carson Wentz and Jared Goff, and I'll actually take him over them just because of his accomplishments. Now, this thing, it is egotistical when we say we want to be the highest paid. I mean, we ain't worried about the guy behind me. I'm worried about what I'm going to get. And so Dak Prescott is like, what can I get? He's worth whatever the Cowboys are willing to give him. It's not what we think it is, because if it was, we'd already have a deal. If it was what is being reported,
right,
we would already have a deal. And so he deserves it because the Cowboys are giving it to him. But does he deserve, from a talent perspective, to leapfrog all those guys? No.
But it's never been a talent conversation. And I think the fans get seduced into that. I think sometimes players get seduced in thinking, oh, you got to be better than the other guy, or why do you get more money than him? I got paid more, and I always tell you the story, than Bruce Smith and Junior Seau. And I knew I wasn't better. And they knew I wasn't better. And they both congratulated me because they said, because you're young, because you have upside, because you're next man up, you deserve to move that bar up. So the responsibility is not just on, are you better than those who are making that amount? It's the responsibility of saying, I'm good enough, but I have something to show you in the future, or at least in projection, and that's what Dak Prescott showed.
You know what happens is, the reason what you said, Mark, is true, is teams like to compare you to other players. I remember when my contract was coming up, the Bengals were comparing me to Hines Ward.
They always do.
Oh, yeah. He signed a pretty good deal. All of a sudden, I wasn't compared to Hines Ward no more. Mm. Then they tried to compare me to Monty Toomer. He signed a pretty good deal. Oh, I wasn't compared to him no more. Then I was compared to Brandon Stokely because it fit the narrative of what they wanted to do.
Right.
And so from that perspective, the guys that are being compared to Dak is like, Dak, hit him on the head because they're comparing me to you. And now, when I come up, Dak Prescott?
Another reason to throw in there, and it's kind of a shallow reason, but yet I think it's still relevant, is how much it's being discussed. Mm. Just the amount of discussion around Dak Prescott and what's going to happen and what are you going to do, to me, is reason enough to sit there and say he's worth his weight in gold just based off of that. Now, people may think that that's silly, but if you really think about the importance of what the quarterback represents for one of the most storied and recognizable brands in all of sport, for him to be at the pinnacle, the precipice of every single conversation as it applies to right now in the offseason, that says the value of who Dak Prescott represents to this team all by itself.
Listen, you're not going to get any argument from me. He deserves whatever he can get, whatever the market bears. And if that means being the highest paid player, good for him. Mm-hmm. I mean, listen, your contract came up at the right point. You were healthy and you're good to go. So
if we're running the Cowboys, if you three are running the Cowboys,
absolutely
you
not.
Make Dak Prescott the highest paid player in the
absolutely
league?
Absolutely I do, because of what he's accomplished so far, which is gets him in the conversation. Not at the top.
You, Steven and Jerry Jones,
yes.
You say, okay, let's give him this.
Yes,
you?
Because
no.
Of the league. Yes, you do.
Okay. No, I don't. Listen, if I'm running the organization,
right.
Well, I want to save as much money as possible.
Well, if you offer him $33 million in September before a career year, guess what you're going to do after that career season?
Because they knew the total value of that wasn't really 33 because you tie in his base salary for 2019. Now, are you making him the highest paid player?
I would pay him the money now, but as an owner,
right?
An owner, I would be paying him that money knowing that I want to try to get that deal done before 2021, before the new CBA
money.
Takes place. Because if you got to pay on the other right. side of that CBA, that number, and again, I think that that's where the tug of war is taking place. He wants the other side of the CBA deal contract, whereas if I'm offering you the highest paid quarterback money right now, right? That's going to change.
Yeah.
That's going to change. And so I would try to get it done right
that
now.
That deal is going to have fuel injection because of his birth certificate. He's blessed to have that birth certificate. And let's talk about another quarterback who's not as blessed with his birth certificate, but still the GOAT in Tom Brady. whose future is up in the air after 20 years in Foxborough, the GOAT could end up playing somewhere else next season. Reportedly, Robert Kraft wants Brady to retire as a Patriot, but he will leave the final decision in Bill Belichick's hands and won't interfere in the process. So the question is, does Belichick want Brady back next year? Man, they are running a caper in New England. A 20-year-plus caper of good cop versus bad cop. And Belichick, you go out there and handle all the personnel and Kraft. Oh, I won't let my heart get involved in negotiations. Oh, I love the players so much, including Tom Brady, but I won't step in and get involved. Everyone up here owns something. I don't care what it is. It could be from a bicycle all the way to homes and to real estate, whatever you want to think. Whatever you own, you may let someone else make an assessment, but they don't have the power of decision-making of something you own. So Robert Kraft needs to be called out for being disingenuous and saying, I won't overstep my bounds. Everything in the Patriots organization is within boundary for Robert Kraft, but this keeps him clean in terms of perception, keeps him clean in terms of image, and lets all...
Belichick can play the bad
cop. Belichick play the bad cop, and then I dare you to shoot back at Belichick because his way works. He's a bad cop, but he keeps those streets clean, you know? So this is what's going on in New England. They don't want Tom Brady back. You would never dangle Tom Brady as a free agent if you wanted him back. We just had a conversation about paying Dak Prescott potentially the highest of any NFL player. You get paid when you're worth it to them. When you're not, they let you go out there and test the waters. They're letting Tom Brady test the waters. Take a collective breath, everyone, and realize what that means. They don't really want him back.
I don't believe the hype. I'm actually thinking on the whole other side of this. Belichick does want him back. I'm sitting here thinking to myself, how many conversations have come up on who is going to replace Tom Brady? And we're talking about dangling. I have not seen Tom Brady dangled as a free agent. I just seen the have heard the conversations of, are we going to bring him back?
Potential suitors, that's dangling. You're hanging them on the rooftop. Somebody else can come grab him.
You are always entertaining potential suitors. That is common knowledge amongst any and all players that play that have a contract. I have not seen anything definitive that would say to me that here's who we want. This is why we're going away from Tom Brady, other than just it being about Tom Brady. I really believe in this scenario, the whole pulling the wool over people's eyes situation, the good cop, bad cop thing, is really they have no intentions of getting rid of Tom Brady. And I don't care. I know, TJ, you're going to say you got sources and all
that. You already know. I have no sources.
The bottom line is you would give more concrete reasons and detail before parting ways with a player than the ones that have been set forth for Tom Brady.
I think Bill Belichick wants to move on. I mean, this is the perfect opportunity to move on in that you're not going to be the bad guy. Hey, Tom Brady wanted to test the free agent market. Tom Brady wanted to feel loved. He wanted to be, you know, to be chased by some other team, right?
Yes.
And we can move away from that. And now the most iconic player in the franchise's history, the guy that's taken us to 9 Super Bowls and 6 World Championships, we can say, hey, listen, man, we loved it. It was awesome. But now, all of a sudden, we're not on the hook for it. He wanted to go. He wanted to be chased. And I guarantee you this, and I say it all the time, but I'll say it again. You think the egos are big in the locker room? Walk upstairs to the coaches' offices. If you think that Bill Belichick does not want to prove that he can win without Tom Brady, then I think you're foolish. Because I think that's part of it.
Same Bill Belichick that wanted to prove he can win without Bill Parcells and proved that and went on that mission. I think he's on the
same mission. Yeah, you went 11-5 with Castle. You went 4-0 with a combination of Jimmy Garoppolo and Jacoby Brissett.
Small sample size of
Castle. I understand
that. Small sample size of Matt Castle. You can get away. A lot of quarterbacks can have first-year success. And as far as getting away from him, you had a really tremendously good season. You came up short in the playoffs. I think to make that move right now, just because Tom wants to be suited and looked at and admired from other people outside of Boston, I don't think that that's a good enough way to get out of the way of having Tom Brady, not with the season he had last year.
If Belichick wanted Brady back, we wouldn't even be having this discussion. It would be a done deal.
Thank you.
We wouldn't have gotten to this point. He wouldn't be a free agent here coming up very soon. It's over. Yeah. And Brady knows it's over. And I've said it here about a month ago. He's not going back to New England. And that's okay. It's going to be uncomfortable for everybody. It's going to be uncomfortable for Brady. It's going to be uncomfortable for Belichick initially.
It's going to be uncomfortable for me.
And then you move on. Belichick, when they put that clause in his contract and said, oh, we can't franchise it, you don't think he was aware of that? If he wanted Brady back, that clause wouldn't have been in the contract.
Thank you.
And so there's so many little clues to show you we're going to move on.
Right.
But we're going to make it look.
I don't buy that.
And that's why it's a caper, Lamar.
I'm not putting the franchise.
What do you mean?
You don't put the franchise tag on the greatest football player of our modern day.
Why not? Why not?
Because
if you want them back, that's what you
do. And
he
do. You don't put the franchise tag. They're so good, they made him fight for something that they wanted. They didn't want to franchise him. In decline, they wanted to shine in this moment. And Belichick is sitting there with the confidence that I took a sixth rounder that everybody forgot about and turned him into the GOAT. You think I can't have someone with a higher talent base and make that guy something special for this organization?
They had a very good football player starting for that team when they brought Tom Brady in.
Drew Bledsoe, $100 million man.
Tom Brady had a little bit of time, and let's not discount what Drew Bledsoe meant to that time. I don't see the same scenario playing out if they had a guy. And you're saying this guy is in line.
If they want Tom Brady back, why haven't they just given him a contract?
If you were getting rid of him, where is his replacement?
No, we
where is his replacement?
You don't think Bill Belichick has an idea of who he's going to sign? You don't think he has an idea?
This is the conversation. This is the conversation. I'm going to do what's best for the football team, what I think is best for the football team. Tom, thanks for calling. I got Andy Dalton online, too.
That was the conversation. How much time did Drew Bledsoe have after Tom Brady showed up?
Watch Andy Dalton run up out of Foxborough with his tail tucked between his legs because it will be impossible for
Andy Dalton.
Ability to go in there under
you
these
might be right about that.
And have success.
Use your
in
words
Boston.
Against yourself, Lamar.
I would never
you
do that.
You're saying that Tom Brady had time. But Drew Bledsoe was the first $100 million man in NFL. And guess what? How much time did he have after Tom Brady showed up and did his thing on the field? No time.
That's the first time. That's the first time.
And he turned a six-rounder to a GOAT. He'll find someone else in his mind.
It is not realistic to think that Bill Belichick, as brilliant as he has been, to actually redo what he was able to do with the Bledsoe-Tom Brady
This is going to be so intriguing, though.
No way.
Who gets the credit? They go separate ways.
I'm with TJ. We wouldn't have this conversation if they weren't ready to say bye-bye.
That quarterback is in trouble. Whoever that next quarterback is, he's in trouble. You're in trouble, guy.
Marcellus Wiley here. Jason Whitlock is off today, but I'm joined now by Fox NBA analyst Slick Rick DeBuecher and Cutino Mobley. Time now for a big story like that, presented by Hyundai. Let's move to the Battle LA, where my Clippers faced off with LeBron and the Lakers yesterday, and it did not go well. LeBron and Anthony Davis combined for 58 points and pulled away in the second half to win 112-103. We all know the Lakers have had the best record in the West pretty much all year, and yesterday JaVale McGee declared them the best team in the world. So the question is, should the Lakers be the favorites to win the title? And I will sit up here and do my job objectively and say, yes, they should be the favorites. I think that's where the minds of the masses are gathered.
Sure.
And as they say, sometimes the masses, the M is silent, if you know what I'm saying. I think it's fool's gold to think that the Lakers are going to win the title. But certainly if you go to Vegas, place your bet on the Lakers, who had a tremendous weekend beating the Clippers and obviously beating the Milwaukee Bucks before the Clippers. Lakers 4-0 since the start of February against top four teams in each conference. I got love for the Lakers. They look tremendous. They brought a level of intensity yesterday that the Clippers didn't foresee or match. But that said, we have to remember what this game yesterday was. And I see this Clippers team responding well to events, to big moments, but not necessarily to the mundane. Opening day, everybody's fully loaded, mentally at least engaged into it. We're going to set the tone. Who's the king of L.A.? Clippers win. All right, scrap that. Christmas Day, let's get ready. That's another big event. We're playing on Christmas, prime time. Clippers win. And then March 8th. What the hell is March 8th? That's not a holiday. That's not a big event. That's nothing. Clippers show up saying, I beat you once, I beat you twice. We probably can mail this one again and get it again.
I love you.
And then the Lakers respond with a playoff intensity that the Clippers have now have to respect and will match going forward. What
Rick, you go, Rick.
Oh, I'm not going to give you a pass.
Oh, I
tried
to take it.
Because of the calendar.
We're not doing this.
That's not what the result was. Did this game mean more to the Lakers than the Clippers? Absolutely.
Yes.
They lost two in a row. They needed to make a statement. But if I'm the Clippers, and first of all, Vegas, Vegas has had the Lakers as a favorite for weeks, if not months. So this is not changing just with this result. And ultimately, if you are a betting man, you do want to take the Clippers because the payout is greater because they're not the favorite. So just a little tip.
Oh, okay. That's how you do it?
If you, yeah.
I'm not a gambler, man.
Let me tell you something.
That's how it works.
When you're sitting here quoting JaVale McGee, listen, I like you. I love JaVale McGee, but he ain't Socrates, okay?
Yeah.
He ain't Plato. So I'm going to leave that one alone.
People are quoting Pat Beverly, too.
Exactly.
That in the same category.
Exactly. But check this out. Just to quiet the doubters, this is what LeBron did. When you named the opening and then you named Christmas, what LeBron was doing was he was trying to get everybody together. So when it was the opening day, if he steals the show, what does that do for AD and the rest of the guys? On Christmas, it was a little inconsistency if he steals the show there. So now guess what? You're starting to ramp up for the playoffs. So his demeanor is they already know I got them and they got my back. Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to lead by example now. So whatever I'm doing is what it is.
Oh, so you're mailing in L's on purpose just so the guys can feel more
powerful. There's no mailing L's. What you're trying to do is get everybody else involved. Now it's March, April, May. You're going to see that LeBron that I tell everybody about. And as far as the doubters, you know who the doubters are?
Me.
Hold on. I love Bradley. Okay, the
Avery Bradley. He ain't doing that ever again in his life.
One second. So guess what? Giannis is not making 5 threes to beat the Lakers back in Milwaukee.
Stay in LA,
either.
Brother. Stay focused on LA.
No, that's what I'm saying. My point is when they beat them, Giannis had 5 threes.
But
we smoked all that.
Okay,
right?
Okay. That's dumb.
So Bradley, okay, McGee, Anthony Davis, and Kuzma. That's the believers. You got to make them believe because LeBron already know what he can do. He's trying to help them believe. So all the doubters outside of that, I'm just coming from a basketball perspective. I got to make sure my guys believe that we can do this.
Okay, that's fine. But to Marcellus's point.
Thank you.
Is Avery Bradley going to do this again? More important, is he going to do it 4 times in a playoff series?
Nope.
And if he's not, then who is? Is Kyle Kuzma going to give you one? Even if Avery Bradley does give you that, is Landry Shamet going to go 0-for from 3-point range? Played 45 games before Sunday's game. 5 times did he not hit at least 1 3.
Mm.
Marcus Morris is a 40% shooter in the playoffs. Is he going to go 0-for? Those guys were averaging 19 points combined since Marcus Morris got to them. I believe what's happening with the Clippers right now is that they do have an abundance of talent. They have a wealth of talent. And they have guys like Reggie Jackson and Marcus Morris who are used to having the ball a lot. Now they have to be efficient in smaller and just having smaller and shorter, lesser opportunities.
Right.
And that takes some adjustment.
There it is.
So I saw the pressure right now is on Doc Rivers. He has to figure out, okay, I've been given the whole toy chest.
Mm-hmm.
Now how am I going to utilize them and how am I going to get these guys to play together? But to answer the first question, yes. The Lakers are the favorites,
of course.
And the Clippers should want it this way.
Mm.
Because what bothered me about them from the very beginning of the year was we all kind of quietly anointed them as the team.
Mm.
This is the team that should win. And they looked and played for too many nights like they bought into that.
Yeah, they did.
And they didn't have that. We have something to prove. Now, if I'm Doc, I'm going, you know what? You're right. The Lakers are the better team. They should be the favorite, and we've got some work to do.
I can't believe you. I can't believe you too.
Who, him or me?
You talking about Avery Bradley. Is Danny Green
averaging
not one of the best? Is Danny Green not a playoff-ready guy?
Yes, he is.
Is he not a playoff-ready guy?
Last year. Yes, we understand.
Wait a minute. Are we going to look at the width and breadth of Danny Green last year?
Uh-oh.
What you mean?
Not the underbelly.
You still have to respect Danny.
I think he was 3 for 29.
Yeah.
You still have to respect Danny Green, and you know that, Rick. That changes
concepts
and games.
Do I have to respect Danny Green versus Paul George? Do I have to respect Alex Caruso versus Paul George? Because I got to tell you, I was out there watching this game, and I'm watching those matchups, and I'm going,
listen,
this is not going to be pretty.
That ain't going to work in a seven-game series.
I love Paul George, but at the end of the day, See, when you try to critique something, it's not even about hating. But at the end of what I'm saying is Danny Green going to not go 0-for-3?
Why do you keep talking about
Kyle
Danny
Kuzma
Green when Lou Williams went 3-for-11? Is he going to do that?
That's my point.
Is
Kawhi Leonard going to have 0 assists in a 7-game series?
Should the Lakers be favored? Yes, I think, okay, between the Lakers and the Clippers, yes.
Yeah.
LeBron James is telling everybody right now, Listen, it's all good. You guys can go cheer for the Clippers. I love the Clippers. I was a Clipper. I'm looking at the roster. I think the Clippers are going to win it. But at the end of the day, should the favorites?
Yeah. Well, Coutinho, you know what? This fits the narrative of the Clippers. I'm glad you brought that up. You know, we're more streetlights over spotlights, as they like to say. That's the Clipper mantra. And right now, it's a game of Tetris. They have all these pieces that came to the Clippers. I mean, we are loaded. Some of the matchups are just laughable when you're talking about in the second unit.
Right.
But you got to make them fit. So that's the Tetris right now that Doc Rivers is playing. But I will say that the Clippers got caught a little with their foot off the gas in terms of intensity.
100%.
They didn't know that the Lakers wanted it that bad in this show.
The other part is that if you watched it, when the ball moved, they looked dynamic. There were too many times where Kawhi Leonard was in his bag, and I'm like, dude, you don't need that. Like, you have so much talent around you right now. If we're in a last possession situation, if we're down by one, but they were down by seven or eight, and Kawhi had the ball the entire 24 seconds.
So you think that's going to change? Because he's been doing that the whole year because Paul George has been out.
That's
right. You think that's going to change right now? Because that's what happened to James Harden last year when Chris Paul was out.
It's going
to
change.
Your personality is your personality. So he's fit to be able to take over. Paul George's, Morris, all these different people.
But what Doc did yesterday, which I was really surprised, in a way I was and I wasn't, is that he played Kawhi and Paul George together and had them off together.
We ain't show
if you want to balance that, you always have one of those guys on the floor, which allows both of them to eat and to do some of their dominant work, and they just weren't able to do that.
Yep. Welcome back to Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai. Marcel Swally here. Jason Whitlock is off today, but we got Rick Bucher and Katina Mobley. They're back, so let's talk some more. LeBron James had himself a busy weekend. All started Friday night with a head-to-head showdown against Giannis and the Bucks, where LeBron dropped 37, 8-8 in the win. Then yesterday he went on for 28 against my Clippers and another win. And after the game, here go Anthony Davis start handing out awards to his teammates. What you got to say, AD?
MVP. The MVP. Watch the last two games. I mean, what he's been able to do, taking on matchups defensively, you know, leading the pack offensively, making the right plays. You don't see that from a guy who's 17 years in the league, and his team is number one in the West. So he's continuing to show the world why he's, you know, the best. And I think if people don't understand that in the last two games, I think they understand now.
So the question is, did LeBron take the lead over Giannis in MVP race this weekend? Let me say something to Anthony Davis first. This is why your teammate shouldn't be your agent, you know, basically, because that's what LeBron is. You know, owning the agency. That got, you know, LeBron not even better than AD. And then LeBron's not better than AD, but like AD's going to give him the MVP crown. I give you that. In all seriousness, LeBron shouldn't have been that close in this conversation for him to even surpass Giannis this weekend. But I know that's the narrative going around, so I will address it. We're talking about Giannis right now. Mm-hmm. And Giannis defensively is better than LeBron James, clear cut. We're not even going to have that conversation. Defensive player of the year.
25.
I don't care. Boom! That's my problem.
25.
And offensively, he's having better numbers than LeBron this year. But, hey, it's comparable. But certainly defensively, he's better. And there's no special teams in basketball. So, therefore, LeBron is not winning. Can anyone have the MVP conversation with LeBron without saying what you just said, Coutinho, his age? I'm getting tired of the MVP conversation. Once you step between the white lines, you could be 19, you could be 40. I don't give a damn. I'm not even caring. I'm not measuring that. I'm not factoring that. If the senior is supposed to win on the team, but the sophomore is a better player, sophomore is MVP of my football team. I don't understand this conversation. Well, LeBron is doing this 17th year. LeBron is doing this. Hey, he's 35. And then all that does is just give the boost to the numbers that are great, but not greater than Giannis.
Now, look, I'm not giving him the caveat. The reason that LeBron James, as of right now, is at the top of my MVP ballot today. Now, we still have a month to go. I said it from the beginning. I do think this is a race. I do think LeBron has a shot at it. Simply because I look at what this team, what we anticipated this team to be, when I look at the collective parts, It's amazing that LeBron James has brought this team together to have the best record in the Western Conference.
He did that?
And he, yes, he has. I know you.
What? Look, who I came with LeBron this year?
I know you're an Anthony Davis stands.
Damn
I know you
right.
are. I know you are.
You
but Anthony
serious.
Davis is in the perfect position as the number two guy who can utilize all of the talent that he has, but he's never utilized his talent to this extent without a LeBron James showing him, this is how we're going to do it. This is how I'm going to fit you into this. LeBron is the architect of, hear me.
Rick, can I ask you this?
Anthony Davis is the architect.
The architect never shows up
LeBron
to the construction
the
site.
Rick, can I ask you this?
He stays there behind him.
Rick, can I ask you this? And then I want him to answer.
I will answer.
Go, continue.
AD squad, when he was in New Orleans.
Oh, God.
Hold on. Take LeBron off of this team. Keep the same guys.
Yeah.
Take LeBron off of this team. That team from
best
AD
team the,
down.
Best team in the record. Best record in the Western Conference.
Hold on. Listen to this. Mm. The Lakers, without LeBron James, you take AD squad that was in New Orleans with Rondo and all them. Is that a better team from 1-9? Yes, the New Orleans is.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
So when you have AD come over here, the best player in New Orleans, come over here, right?
Yeah.
Because that team over there, they didn't even make the playoffs. Y'all made it once. So you ain't even make the playoffs there. So you talking about AD. It's LeBron James with a pack of cools, okay, some gummies, that is going to the playoffs.
Easy with the gummies.
Why? Yeah. Why are we doing a substitution theory to show value?
When
let's do it. I don't like playing this game, but let's do it. LeBron was there last year. How did the Lakers turn out? Oh, the injury. Oh,
yes, that's exactly what it is. You know it.
You know what?
Because you and Whitlock was messing with me about December. Oh, that was December. What are you talking about? That was December when they was third,
they were fourth.
Second. Oh, you're fourth.
Yep.
When they, two more.
AD in this situation, I'm not saying he's the MVP candidate over LeBron. He doesn't have the story. He's going to share the experience.
It's not a story. It's a mentality.
Whoa. Let's just be real. AD's a better defender than LeBron on this Lakers team right now.
But he's not the leader of this team.
Well, of course
you can,
not.
It's hard
to take the crown off the king. That's the problem. That's why it's a narrative conversation. This is Drew Brees going in the MVP conversation last year that had more story and it had supporting numbers. See, but it's the story that gets LeBron in this
the
conversation.
The problem with AD was right
they
in that
without
clip
Drew Brees
that
too.
We saw. That he's so willing. Oh, hey, no. LeBron's
yeah,
MVP.
Yeah.
He concedes so easily.
To his agent.
Well, I don't think it's just the money factor.
Okay.
I think it's his personality.
It's
he's
exactly
a great talent.
That's exactly what it
but
is.
But he's not the driving force of any team. He wasn't the driving force of the teams in New Orleans.
I respect
was he the most
that.
Talented?
I respect
yes.
that. But that we're forgetting Giannis should be the front runner. Giannis, without Giannis, Bucks went to Phoenix, and what happened?
This is the
took
problem.
A L.
This is the problem that I have with that. And I don't want to be a victim of recency. But when I watched Friday night's game, there was clearly a mano a mano. Let me show you what I can do with my
exactly.
Oh, two what, possessions.
Versus,
no.
Layups.
No.
Whole game.
No.
A fall down layup.
I don't mean
whole
one
game.
On one. I mean when Giannis had the ball
whole
and had
game.
To create something against their set defense, he couldn't get anywhere. They ended up giving the ball to Chris Middleton and saying, "Not make a shot, Chris Middleton. Go try to get something
Giannis
for
us." Giannis even saying. They're everywhere. They're long. They're physical.
His inability.
He's saying that.
This has always been my issue with Giannis. And it's the part that, look, at 25, it goes the other way. I'm going to give him the caveat that at 25, he will develop this ability. But I can't give him the ball against a set defense like I can with LeBron, where LeBron is going to create a problem that he's still the willing passer, but he's going to create a shot for somebody else. Giannis does not know how to do that against a top flight defensive team. When you're playing up and down, when he can go downhill.
Totally agree.
Then he's at his best.
Okay, I will say this, full transparency. I think what's happening here is there's a lot of debits occurring to Giannis because of his playoff woes last year at the end, and some credits given to LeBron just because of age and how long he's been in the league and expectations of a 35-year-old producing those numbers. And not everyone was that impressed with LeBron yesterday. Thank you. My guy, Patrick Beverley, spent some time guarding the Lakers star, and after the game, he didn't shy away from taking a shot at the king. Get him, Pat.
Can you describe the challenge it is defensively when LeBron...
No challenge.
But particularly the end of the game...
No challenge.
Can you describe what it's like as a defender to when he tries to force the switches with the guard?
Question here is, do you like Beverly taking a shot at LeBron? I Clipper fan
oh,
in me.
Oh, I can't wait. What?
I don't like this. I don't like this because he phrased it poorly. But he actually has a point that I want to try and help decipher for everyone out there. I had a coach twice tell me this. There's a difference between what's difficult and what's hard. Patrick was trying to say that LeBron is not difficult to guard. Now, difficult is complexity.
I like that.
The game, the arsenal, the bag of tricks, how many tools on that belt. LeBron is not difficult to figure out. It's kind of narrow compared to, let's say, a James Harden or Kevin Durant and others like that. But it is hard to guard LeBron, because even though when you figure out what he's going to do, which we all know, the slash, the spin.
I like your analogy with the difficult and the hard, but it is difficult to guard him and it is hard to guard him.
No. Well, Pat, I'm not saying, I can't do either.
I'm saying
Pat Beverly is saying it's not difficult to compute what LeBron James is about. Right. It's hard to do that, and that's where Patrick Beverly.
I was
6'8",
that would never happen. I'm pretty sure you say that, too.
Okay, but here's the thing. That's not what Patrick Beverly was doing there. Patrick Beverly was going, I lost to this cat, and I'm not going to give him a quarter.
That's exactly
it. It wasn't that it was hard. It was such a setup. He took the bait. You're going to ask Patrick Beverly after he has this kind of a game, and they lose to LeBron James, and you're going to ask him how hard was that? He's going, oh, man, that was really hard. Like, that's not Patrick Beverly. He's going to go the opposite way.
Tony Allen, Marcus Smart, anybody you name like that that has that type of persona, that's what you're getting paid for. You don't get paid to do nothing else. You get paid to do that. But, so when you come to me and you ask me that type of question, oh, you can forget it, buddy. No.
Logic out the window in that moment.
Yeah, you can forget it. I'm all emotion right now.
This is where Patrick Beverly and Doc Rivers, and they all need to come together. Because the right thing to say there, first of all, I would not have been good as an athlete to the media, in spite of the fact that I'm in the media.
You can feel Jackson.
Because if I got asked that question, I would have said, what does it look like?
Ooh.
What does it look like to guard LeBron James? And turned it back, because to me, why are you asking me that question? I just lost to this cat. I scored 2 points. Avery Bradley lit me up, and you're asking me how it is to guard LeBron James. Like, don't do that to me, right?
Right.
So I would not have responded well in that situation. No being one would have. That
Marcellus,
question.
If you've lost the game and you know you're supposed to do an X, Y, and Z, and then they come to you right then and there, your questions will be logical, rational.
Well, you know, I'm able to detach what I'm about to say versus the last 60 minutes on that field. So I could give props to the guy. I'm like, I don't care what I say right now. You know why? It doesn't materialize on that field. I had my moments of action. Now I have my moments of words. Okay. And I will use my words properly. But we're saying two different things. I understand that Patrick was talking from the emotions and the egos and just the fact that, hey, man, I'm still a warrior. But did he take a shot at LeBron? Is
no.
The
sure. No. He took a shot.
He took a shot?
Absolutely.
I don't think it was a
Dude,
shot.
We got an MVP candidate, and he's saying, is it hard to guard him? No, it's not. No. It's not a challenge. No, it's not.
That's
Are you kidding me?
Again, I wouldn't have took it like that. I was just like, LeBron, because when they asked LeBron about Giannis last time they played, and Giannis had the 5 threes.
Yeah.
They asked LeBron that. You know what he said?
Exactly.
Right.
And if I'm Pat Bev, after I've had that game, I would have said, at the very best, I love the challenge of trying to guard him.
Mm. Yeah.
He's an MVP candidate. Mm. Leave it at that. That's what the Clippers at this point
it's
need
about
to do.
This is what it's about, challenging.
But,
right?
that lets you know when you're
that invested, when you care that much, that you're that damn petty. When you're so petty like this, it lets you know.
But you're
I'm not even going to lose the PR battle.
But
I'm
you're
not
saying it's like a good thing.
Yeah.
I hope it pays itself forward.
It better.
Patrick Beverly was so bad.
It's just better.
Yeah.
You can't be talking about anybody.
Yeah, minutes are going to get questioned in the playoffs. He keeps playing like that. Time now for Darnell's question of the day. Take it away, Darnell.
Yes, sir. Let's talk Tom Brady, who continues to be linked to Antonio Brown this offseason, showing him a lot of love on social media in recent weeks. Last week, AB's people put it out there that Brady was in consistent communication with the receiver and that he wanted to play with him next year. Then over the weekend, Brady responded with a heart emoji after AB tweeted out, quote, anger and ego kicked my ass for about 6 months. I forgot about hard work and grace. Has success took a shot yet? I want to ask you guys, do you like Brady aligning himself with AB on social media?
I do. You know, Tom Brady knows all eyes are on him right now, so why not deflect some of that light and attention to AB right now? AB is dealing with a human rights issue, it seems like. When is he going to get a judgment on his suspension? It's insane how long this is taking. And I don't want to hear the whole story about, oh, we got to wait for legalities to play itself out, because the NFL has certainly preceded legalities before in handing out their suspensions. AB needs someone like this, a cohort, someone who can support him in the times where it seems like he's being forgotten. And I understand why the NFL is slow playing it, but still, you need to make a definitive suspension on him. That said, look, Myles Garrett has already had an indefinite suspension and back in the NFL while we see AB on the sidelines. Good for Brady aligning himself with AB, except this one tweet in particular, it didn't make any sense. I don't know what the hell.
Yeah, I didn't know. Hey, I was with you. I'm like,
thank you.
That's... Tom Brady must love that dude. He's like liking stuff that nobody understands.
All I know is, right. Yes, I have no problem with him aligning himself with AB to the degree that it is he's aligned. I mean, a heart emoji. What type of conclusion in terms of aligning yourself with AB is that other than I support my guy? Like, I support him.
Love.
As a friend. That love. Doesn't... You don't draw definitive conclusions off of him retweeting his statement and putting a heart there. Like, I love what you said, AB. I think you're a cool person. If he's being someone that gives AB a little bit of direction, a little bit of support, I don't see there anything being
wrong.
You
need to direct him to a dictionary. The hell are you writing, AB?
I mean, for me, I like it as well. And I've said it. They're going to play together, or at least that's the plan. Is they want to play together next year. And so he's just letting AB know, you still got my support. Even liking it with the heart emoji. I'm like, Tom, did you read through this? You understood where he was going with it? And he gave him the heart emoji. And so for me, and I look at it like this, AB has been beat up so much. And it's like, maybe I don't see it. Nobody goes through life being perfect. No. And AB has made some mistakes like everybody else has, and he's been ostracized, like you said, from the league. And, like, when is something going to happen? Mm-hmm. If you go through life and you do things right 90% of the time, you're a pretty good person. Because you damn sure a great person if you go to school like that, right? We all get 90%. And so AB has made some mistakes. Yeah. And Tom Brady is saying, I'm still going to be there. They've talked. We want to play together. I'm still going to reach my hand out to you and help you. Even if we don't play together, just as a human being. So from that perspective, I love it.
I love the fact that guys, locker rooms just are very forgiving. And, you know, you may be the village idiot, but you're our village idiot, and we're going to support you. Mm. And that's kind of how locker rooms operate. And I love the fact that Tom Brady is like, hey, man, I'm there. I'm going to support you. I'm going to help you, you know, walk you through this thing. I want to play together, all those different things. So I think that part is the special bond that players have for one another. And we've all been in the locker room with a guy that needs that help, right? The guy that you're assigned to babysit.
And that's why football is the greatest game out there.
Amen.
You get a guy from Liberty City in Miami, and you get a Tom Brady from up Northern California, and the one thing in common is football. Without football, would we have come in contact with each other? Would we have this type of bond, or would we be able to even form this type of bond?
And TJ, you said the plan is for them to play together. What abrupts that plan? What stops that plan? What interrupts it?
Only thing that I see interrupting is if AB doesn't get reinstated. If teams already know, they know Brady wants to play with AB. And Brady wants AB because Brady knows AB's going to make me look good and vice versa. The only way would be Roger Goodell in the NFL not reinstating him and allowing
so
him.
So every roster
you other. I got one other. Right. The Raiders. If Brady goes to the Raiders, would the Raiders have AB back?
Do you remember what Mike Mayock said a couple weeks ago? At this point I think.
Yeah, I remember that thing.
And so that, to me, it shows me it opens a door. Like, I really don't want
Could every roster absorb Tom Brady and AB? The Chargers, to me, seem like the leader in the clubhouse in terms of roster construction.
It's going to have to be conditions. It has to be conditions and – you're already on strike D, as you would say. Anything else, that's it. And so it's going to come with conditions, but I believe any team, you were taking.
Darnell, did anyone win the XFL Super 6 contest this weekend?
Yes, sir. We want to give a huge congratulations to all the fans who walked away with some cash this weekend. And before the games kick off next weekend, be sure to download the Fox Sports Super 6 app and play for free for your chance to win.
Joined again by LeVar Arrington, Mark Schlereff, and TJ Houshmandzadeh, let's move to Kansas City. Maybe that's where Whitlock is. Where Patrick Mahomes took care of business on the field this year, but will have some business to take care of off the field with a lot of talk about the mega deal Mahomes will probably be signing soon. But the quarterback actually says he's more focused on winning and wants to make sure he does the contract, quote, the right way and for the betterment for the team. So the question is, should Mahomes consider giving the Chiefs a hometown discount? Sitting up here with four retired football players. Hell no, you ain't giving them boys the money back. Can we stop with this conversation of, oh, if I hold back some of my money, then they're going to have more money to spend on other, and we're going to have a better team. I keep reminding people that we just watched the Super Bowl with the 49ers and the Chiefs. Who spent the most money in the NFL last year? 49ers. Who spent the least? The Chiefs. And they were in the same contest. 49ers had a lead in the fourth quarter, up 10. You can play it cheap. You can play it expensive. You still are going to have the opportunity to play and win it all. So, one, I would never give back money. These owners are making too much money. You know what the owners make before we even kick the ball off in revenue sharing? $274.3 million per ball club before you even kick the ball off. They shared that. And now the players are saying, oh, no, my game is this blank canvas, and I've painted this fine art. But you know what? Before I want to know full value of it, let me cut these edges off and then hand it to you. Are you paying for that? Mahomes, they won't give you the money back if you don't reach the Super Bowl, if you start to regress, if you show any signs of weakness. They're not going to take care of you. So why are you taking care of them in the height of your powers? Get all you can, young man.
Mahomes says he wants to do the right thing in terms of having longevity of success and winning. So I say, yes, you should consider doing a deal that may seem to be taking a hometown discount, but really, in essence, in reality, it doesn't. And I'll say this. I can recall when I was in that same scenario and I did restructurings to help the team to be able to sign guys because I wanted to win. Sometimes, I know.
Restructuring? How'd that turn out?
I've done restructuring. Well, the restructurings were wonderful.
Well, they're great.
They were wonderful.
Did y'all win?
The new, no, we didn't win. But the point is.
That's my point.
Here's the point.
What?
The point is that if you do a deal where you're not backloading your deal so much, you're front-loading it. If you do a deal that's a $100 million deal, but it's heavy and front-loaded money and guaranteed money versus it being a back-heavy, and that might be like, you know, language that some people, you might not get it, but you could do a $200 million deal over 6-7 years, and really, in essence, you're not really making very much money within that deal.
Yeah, so, the last year is $60 million.
Right.
$70 million,
like, so what? If you do a deal that's going to help your team in the here and now and moving forward, and it doesn't seem to be as large a number, but you're getting that money up front, you're getting more of that guaranteed money up front, I would have no problem with him looking at it that way.
I would just say no. Why? Okay, let me ask you this. Why is it all of a sudden the player's responsibility to manage the organization's cap for them?
Truth.
Why is that? Why is it their responsibility? He owes them nothing. Do your job. Manage your own cap. He should get as much money as he can possibly get. You look at both these teams that were in the Super Bowl, between San Francisco and between the Kansas City Chiefs, I believe there were 26 total free agents on their team. You know, they treat us like this bar I used to hang out in Alaska when I was growing up in Alaska or in college in Alaska called Chilkoot Charlie's, where we cheat the other guy and pass the savings on to you. Like, they want you to operate that way. Hey, man, we're going to have to cheat you a little bit because we got to take care of all these other players. And how are we going to win? 26 total free agents on those rosters combined. I don't want to hear how we can't pay you. I don't want to hear how we can't manage our cap. That's your job. That is not Patrick Mahomes' job, Dak Prescott's job. It's the Cowboys' job. It's the Kansas City Chiefs' job to manage their own damn cap.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's complete no. I don't even know why he's thinking about this. And the biggest thing is, when guys are at the end of their career, you think they're going to say, oh, we're going to give you one more year. We like you. They're going to cut you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The owner has and will always have more money than the players. Man, you get every dollar you can get.
And look, in a league with a soft cap and where they can find creative ways to make sure they sign you, contract extensions, restructuring
so
everything.
There's so many different ways.
Stop.
You could have a bunch of cap space and give them that signing bonus for that year. So now the remaining years, your cap hit isn't as – you can do it however you want to do it. No, discount, no.
I still will insert into this conversation that is pro-heavy, heck no, and I get that. I still will insert there is some value to wanting to have better players around you because I was in a situation where I saw
you just got to draft well.
Draft well and pay well upstairs.
It sounds good, but again, if you find yourself in a position where there's a guy out there, like I remember for me, it was Lavernius Coles and Santana Moss. I wanted Lavernius Coles and Santana Moss on our team in the worst way because I knew they could improve our team. If it took me restructuring for us to be able to put on the market,
but you ain't
a
restructuring the discount. We just gonna give you money, lower your cap hit. Right. That's not giving money up.
But that could be the same exact way.
But that's not taking a restructuring is helping them. But I'm not giving up a dollar.
But you can still look at the restructuring or the approach they restructured to make my cap number lower. But they gave me more money. You could do a deal that makes your cap number lower, but
that's not a
money.
Discount.
Right. And guys, let's let the guys who are qualified do that job. And that's the point, I think. Patrick Mahomes, you're qualified to throw the football. Throw the football, get the most you can. Upstairs, there's a capologist. Let him earn his keep as well. To the team that Mahomes beat in the Super Bowl, the 49ers, who have been in the middle of some wild rumors about a trade that would send Jimmy Garoppolo to the Patriots for none other than Tom Brady. Well, not everyone is buying it, with San Francisco running back Jeff Wilson saying the whole story is ludicrous. But the question here is,
it's ludicrous.
Which quarterback will give the 49ers the best chance of winning the Super Bowl? Tom Brady or Jimmy G? Boy. I mean, good Lord. It's Jimmy G, right? Like, who in the hell is y'all remember the 49ers before Jimmy G got there? They won two games. Then he got there, you know, they won the five straight. Then he comes back the next year, they get hurt. They win four games. So two before I got here and four without me. And then my first year starting, full year. Oh, we just go to Super Bowl when we're leading in the fourth quarter. And now you're trying to say, no, let's upend this and go with the 43-year-old who could come in here for a year, two, 3 years, whatever it may be. And he's going to be an upgrade. There are tangibles and there are intangibles. And look at Tom Brady. The tangibles don't qualify in the same category as Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy Garoppolo is a better talent right now than Tom Brady. And then the intangibles, you're talking about how he fit into this locker room. And for whatever reason, they had a good roster that got great with Jimmy G under the center. I'm keeping Jimmy G as my quarterback, and I don't see that Brady's being an upgrade.
He's not a problem. It is Garoppolo. And I feel like this picture is being painted as though Garoppolo is a problem. This team, just you mentioned having the lead in the fourth quarter. They not only had the lead in the fourth quarter, they had a two-digit lead with less than 8 minutes remaining in the game. What would we all say was the strength of the 49ers team this year?
Defense.
Their defense. With less than 8 minutes left on the clock and you give up two touchdowns, I am not going to place that blame at Jimmy Garoppolo's feet and say, we'd have a better chance of winning the Super Bowl. If Tom Brady was in the game, we'd have won the game and different things like that. Did Garoppolo miss a couple plays at the end? Sure. Did he need to have to make those plays in order for him to be respected? I don't buy that. I don't buy it at all. I think in this scenario, Garoppolo has been a very major piece of why this team, as you've mentioned, is winning games. I would not want to disrupt that, making it to the Super Bowl.
He has been a major piece. There's no question about it. I will tell you, if he makes those throws, they win that game.
I agree.
There's no question about that. And there's probably five or six throws in the late third quarter throughout that fourth quarter that he misses. Five or six reads, five or six throws that he misses. They win that football game. Would Tom Brady make those throws? If you look at the past history, probably. I think the one thing that you have to understand, though, is how much the 49er quarterbacks are under center versus how often Brady is under center now. Their run game is predicated on a lot of being under center. It's a different style. I go back to Peyton Manning when he came to Denver. Under John Fox, he was allowed to be in shotgun. When Gary Kubiak came in, he moved him under center about 60% of the time. Those two fought like cats and dogs. He hated it. Peyton Manning hated it. Yeah. There would be a learning curve there. So I'm saying in that Super Bowl, I believe that if Tom Brady is playing in that Super Bowl for San Francisco, I believe they win that game. But there's a huge adjustment going over to San Francisco in the system that they run for a Tom Brady.
I'm going with Brady, and I don't even know why you guys disagree with this. The game is about winning Super Bowls. When you have that defense, you got Eric Armstead as a free agent. You got DeForest Buckner coming up. You got all these defensive linemen. You got George Kittle. You got Emmanuel Sanders, Deebo Samuel. These guys going to come up. Will Brady make that throw to Emmanuel Sanders in the fourth quarter? We all will probably say yes. And are you mortgaging your future? Probably so. Every 49er fan will say, if I can win a Super Bowl, I'm okay with that. Kyle Shanahan, I get your point. Kyle Shanahan is good enough as a coach where he can say, okay, we'll make this work. Under center, shotgun, we'll figure out schematically how we want to play this. But if it's about winning Super Bowls and getting to the top of the top, yeah, he took you to the Super Bowl.
But there are 19 games before that. Like, 43-year-old.
I'm glad you touched on that.
Like, good Lord, y'all act like we just going to start at the top of this mountain.
Markton went all the way to the third quarter and made this man miss them reads and them throws. Thank you very much, Marcellus Wiley, for bringing us back.
There?
How are we going to get there?
So you don't believe Brady can get you there?
Not the
he
same way.
He didn't get them there this year.
When you have the same type of team.
Losing to Tennessee at home.
When you have the type of team that the 49ers – Look at that. I get it. They're loaded. Offensively and defensively, they're good.
And that run game
is so complex that it
and
makes
that quarterback.
It,
they're loaded at quarterback, too.
Who's that?
The young Jimmy G, the guy who used to be the highest
they're
paid.
They loaded at quarterback, but how many times did he throw the ball in the playoffs?
He would have been the MVP game.
How many times?
The Super Bowl.
You know NFC you're going
to defense.
You know you're going to need your quarterback when it matters, but you play Green Bay and you blowing them out. You don't even give them any confidence. You keep running the ball.
Wait a minute. Tom Brady wins the Super Bowl, but he throws more interceptions than touchdowns, and we gloss over that. Jimmy G actually plays well in the Super Bowl, but he loses. We're going to say Jimmy G's the problem.
Let's put it in perspective, though. You look at – just look at the rosters and the guys that Jimmy G's playing with skill-wise, and you look at what Brady – it's a huge difference. And that's a huge difference.
Yeah.
That's a huge difference.
But they don't have
– we're going with Jimmy Garoppolo! Yeah.
Woo. Welcome back. Marcellus Wiley here. Slick
the Rick conversation we were just
and
having.
I know we're excited for this one. Tino Mobley. Let's move to Draymond Green. Let's get this beef going.
Good.
Who has had a pretty rough year on the court, and now it's getting rough off the court with Charles Barkley mocking the Warriors star all season for racking up triple singles. This year, not surprisingly, Green fired back at Chuck over the weekend.
Barkley should stop before I go take his job, though. So I can do that well, too. He already ain't make enough money playing, so he need that job. He should stop talking to me. I like to, you know, tendency to end people. So he should stop before I take his job. If he keep talking, I'll take it soon. Sooner than he thinks. So yeah, he probably should be quiet. He also can't talk basketball with me either. Not smart enough, not qualified. No rings, can't sit at this table.
So the question is, whose side are you on, Barkley or Draymond? I've been in the media 13 years. About my third year, I remember being on air and I said, y'all better look out. We're sitting here in this nice air-conditioned studio taking a lot of shots at a lot of players. Mm-hmm. Sooner or later, I don't know when this industry is going to shift, but they're going to take the silencers off and start shooting back. And y'all going to hear it and feel it. So props to Draymond for engaging in something I predicted a decade or so ago. That said, Barkley wins this beef. Barkley hit him where it hurt. He hit him with a bullseye. And they say in comedy, it's not funny when you get a bullseye. You can't call the fat person the fat. And he got Draymond to the point where, you know why I know Draymond's affected? Because Draymond didn't even come back at Barkley in the same lane that Barkley's coming at. Triple singles is a thing. Triple singles.
It's very emotional.
It's also.
His response.
Well, let's talk
emotional.
About all these other things that really don't play into why am I clowning you in the first place, which is about triple singles. A lot of guys in the locker room, when they're losing the joke, we bagging on your suit. We bagging on your shoes.
Right.
We killing you. Oh, I got more money than you. Oh, you lost. Right. Not one because you took the conversation elsewhere.
So are you going to bag on your teammate after you've just been shredded or you've lost 9 games in a row? Are you going to start talking bad about his suit?
No, that's not
probably
the time.
Not the time to do it. That's at the heart of this. We just talked about Patrick Beverley being asked a question about LeBron and how he responded. To me, this is the same with Draymond Green. Mm-hmm. You're coming at me on triple singles. Right. Do you see who I'm playing with? Do you see what we're going through this season? We've had this great run of 5 years, and now I'm trying to get it done with guys that are not anywhere close.
But aren't your numbers supposed to be better when you have nothing around you if you're the man?
Yeah.
Right?
But here's the thing.
Yeah.
Draymond has never pretended to be the man. That's why I'm on Draymond's side on this. And I know both of these guys. And Chuck is funny and entertaining, and he'll take shots at everybody. But he generally does it in a, not always, but if you say, you talk about fat women in San Antonio, you're not talking about anybody specific. Nobody particular is going to be coming at you.
Yeah.
When you talk about Draymond Green, who has never said I'm the man, has never said he's an offensive wizard, has never said I even go after triple doubles, has never presupposed
but he does
that
have
he
a,
is that.
But Draymond, as much as I love Draymond, Draymond does have an arrogance about him. That
he's won three championships. But, he should.
But still, he's won three championships. He is a part of a team that has two of the best shooters. Now, what Draymond Green does is amazing because he distributes and does all those different things. But he cannot say what he said about Charles Barkley in a way where that's more of like an emotional kind of response, opposed to where there's things have been said, well, LeBron James or whoever it is that's at a high level, and their response back is immature as that one was.
You're kicking me when I'm down.
Charles Barkley says things about everybody, even when they do well.
I understand Shaquille that. O'Neal's
if you're Draymond, who's been the third or fourth best player on these championship teams,
right,
you should feel good about yourself. There is there's an aura around here that is a little grander than his game, most people would say. I don't even want to judge that. I just want you to come back at him objectively in the ways that he came at you objectively, and it seemed like
How about say this one? Charles Barkley is arguably the best power forward ever next to Tim Duncan and Karl Malone. How about say this when he says that? Mm. 3 rings, I'm cool.
No.
That's it. Yeah. Just keep it super simple. Just like Shaquille O'Neal.
The last part when he said, basketball, he can't talk to me. No rings. He can't.
First of all, Charles Barkley's high IQ, too. So don't say he's not smart.
No, I get that.
He's saying with this Alabama accent and he mispronounced words, we're not going there. But as far as a high IQ, he has it.
And a greater conversation is, would you want to be Barkley, one of the best power forwards ever, no rings, or be fourth best on your team, but you got 3 rings?
That's not a good conversation.
Welcome back. Uncle Jimmy is here to talk about our approval ratings for LeBron.
You know.
You. Oh, oh Lord. But who's the big dummy of the day? Oh, man.
Big dummy of the day. Go to the person that will sit up here and sit in my nephew's seat for 2 weeks in a row and ain't got no problem with swapping butt sweat with him. Got to be you, Rick Bucher.
You got a point. I can't even argue that one.
Boy, you are lower screen. Sit up, Lick. Look how little you look.
The seat broke down.
And all that weight that it's used to holding. Let's talk LeBron, y'all, who had a big weekend taking down Giannis and the Bucks on Friday, then dropping my Clippers yesterday. LeBron has a lot of people thinking MVP this year, and the Lakers are serious title contenders. Rick, if LeBron gets another MVP and a title, is he clearly the GOAT?
Greatest of all time. No, he's not the greatest of all time. I'm not entering that conversation anymore because we haven't appreciated LeBron for what he is because we've always made the comparison to Jordan. If you want to say that he's better than Magic Johnson, if you want to say he's better than Wilt Chamberlain, I will say that. 6 for 6, they're two different categories, but no, Michael Jordan will always be at the top of the list for me.
So unquestionably, always the GOAT. Michael Jordan.
I'm thinking about where I'm sitting right now. I got butt sweat on my mind right now. I apologize, but I'm distracted.
Well, Uncle Jimmy, what you got to say about this?
Let me ask you a question, Marcus. Tricky Ricky. I mean, since y'all don't know me, when the hell I done never been wrong?
Well,
Friday. I told you the Chiefs was going to win the Super Bowl. They did. Mm. I told you Tyson Fury was going to knock out Dante Wilder. He did.
It's two for two.
I told you my nephew was going to regret calling the coronavirus a hoax. Ain't nobody seen his ass for 2 weeks. At home talking about, oh, I see y'all Monday. It's just a little cold. Tell you something else. Look, Father Time never forgets his kids. Mm. Hmm. One thing for certain, two things for sure. There's no difference between LeBron James and Tom Brady. Two old ass men trying to lead a team thinking you can just turn it on when the playoffs come around. And both of them going to complain they ain't got the weapons to complete the task. Now, before you holler Anthony Davis.
About to.
I'm going
to
tell you, he ain't nothing but a tall-ass version of Keneal Harry. Ready? Ready?
No way.
Remember, Tom Brady thought Keneal Harry was going to be his missing piece.
Yeah, right.
Just like LeBron thought that AD was going to be his missing piece. Mm. Hey, Brady even tried to bring back Antonio Brown. Hey, ain't no different than LeBron trying to bring back J.R. Smokey Smith. Smokey Smith. It ain't gonna matter. It ain't gonna make a damn. Mm. Look, just like the New England Patriots had Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs waiting in the wings. Hey, the Lakers got Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers sitting right there licking their chops. Looking like my nephew at a Popeye's drive-thru, waiting on the playoffs, huh?
There it is.
All right, then.
Oh, man, you ain't never lying. And you said music to my ears talking about them Clippers like that.
That's it, baby.
I got him at 79 all-star level, creeping up. Look,
wow.
I know. Well, then, you just said he's not the GOAT, so why should I put him at the GOAT? The internet has him at the GOAT status. GOAT status.
I bumped him a point from where I had him at the beginning of the year because obviously he leapfrogged Giannis with AD on his back. And then I gave him an extra 2 points.
Well, that's elsewhere. It for us.